Thursday, March 18, 1982, an interview with James Hurley at his office at 3085 Atlantic Avenue, Long Beach. The interviewer is Ann Andrews. You should begin at the beginning and ask if you were born in Long Beach.
I was born in Long Beach Seaside Hospital in 1925. And my parents both came from other areas of the country. My father came from Pennsylvania, Pittsburgh mainly. And my mother came from Brookings, South Dakota. Dad was a machinist by trade. Mm-hmm. And worked in the railroad roundhouses back in Pittsburgh. And story goes that he rode the rails out here. I don't know just how true that is, but that could be. And came out here in the early 20s as a young man. And he worked the railroad in San Bernardino for a while, and he also worked as a logger up in Bensville in Northern California. And then gradually he, or at some point in time, came here to Long Beach and worked as a machinist and with some pipe and supply companies that dealt in fixing pipe and machining pipe, and gradually got into the business of buying and selling used pipe, and then gradually into the oil drilling game.
Was the pipe primarily for oil drilling that he was working with?
Yeah, I'm not just sure. I think the bulk of it was, though, because the oil boom was on there in the early 20s.
Yes.
And that's what really made Cherry Avenue, which was the center of oil town here.
Yes.
And so I imagine most of the companies there were pretty much oriented to oil business and oil field pipe and supplies. And then somewhere around the around 1930, he opened his own supply, pipe and supply business on Cherry Avenue, bought and sold used pipe and new pipe, and got into some partners and got into some oil deals, and people put up money, you know, and gradually got into the oil drilling itself.
When you say you have some partners, who do you remember some of their names?
Well, of course, this company still is the name of Hurley Kelly, and Paul Kelly was his major partner.
Okay.
And then there was Dan Elliott. There was a partnership there, and John Alford was a partner, and Ira Marshall was a partner. And that's really all that I'm aware of.
Mm-hmm.
And of course, in 1933, while we were here, when the big earthquake came.
Yes. Okay. What happened with the business when the earthquake happened?
Nothing appreciably that I know of. Of course, I was only 7 years old. And so it could be that some of the wells were damaged at that time, but I have no recollection of it. I know that Creighton Oil Tool invented a device that would go in the pipe down hole so that it would let the pipe expand or contract somewhat in case of earthquakes. And a lot of these devices were sold in the harbor area.
Mm-hmm.
Just for that purpose, when the Wilmington and the harbor was being developed. So, but if there was any effect from that quake or not, I really have never heard. It's very possible there was.
Mm-hmm.
But we've really been lucky in California because they're always talking about earthquakes, and of course we do have tremors from time to time, but very little has happened that I'm aware of to the actual oil fields as a result over the past 30, 40, 50 years.
Then your father, when he expanded beyond the pipe business into the actual production, he purchased wells or he drilled wells himself. How does someone
do that? How do you get it finally?
Well, you find an area that you think has some potential as far as oil production is concerned, usually with the help of a geologist who will study the stratas as they appear on the surface and how they are supposed to appear underneath and so forth. And the first area where there was a lot of activity that he was involved in was in Huntington Beach.
Mm-hmm.
And somebody had discovered the field down there, and there was a lot of drilling. And then it was discovered that this oil field extended out under the Pacific Ocean. And so they got Dad and his partner, Kelly, got a couple of leases that were onshore about a block or two from the ocean. And then they got a permit through the state of California to drill under the ocean. And so they did drill two wells that were successful down there. And then after that, there were areas in Montebello that were being drilled, and so they would pick up adjoining acreages to where these discovery wells had been had. And of course, you had to do some pretty fast footwork to get in there before somebody else got it all gobbled up. Same way with Wilmington. And Wilmington, as like these other areas, where an oil field happens to be underneath a town, then you have to work in these little town lots. And it's more hazardous and a little more tricky to drill in between buildings where people are living than if you're out in the pasture land somewhere. Mm-hmm. And the leases are much smaller, usually. Or they'll put together community leases where in a block, let's say, you have 20 houses. So then each house has to sign on with this lease, and they get their proportionate share of the royalty that would come from the production.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And the royalty is usually 16 and two-thirds of the gross production, gross sales of oil and gas.
I spoke with someone else who said that many lawyers in Long Beach really became quite wealthy because when they wrote up the oil leases, they managed to write in a certain percentage for themselves as part of the contract.
That may be true, although I've never heard that. And any of the leases we have been involved with or I've known of haven't had anything like that. That's not to say that various people would either buy portions of royalties, percentages, or maybe put up monies to help drill wells and get royalties as a result, or working interests as a result.
Mm-hmm.
But what you're saying sounds like it was sort of kind of shady.
No, I don't think so, because her husband was an attorney and her father-in-law was an attorney and respectable people, but her comments were regarding perhaps, and I think she still has an oil lease herself, and we're saying that she is still going to a firm of attorneys or something like that.
I can understand that maybe an attorney, instead of charging for his work and drawing up legal papers, might say, well, I'll take a percentage of this deal instead of payment. Now, that could have been very common.
On Signal Hill, especially, in the early days.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm, because that was a real beehive of activity.
Yes.
And again, I was pretty young at that time, so I don't remember too much about it except getting burned one day.
Oh, really? How did that happen?
Well, they were using some kind of steam equipment on this well. I was very small, and so my dad went into this well site, and I fought along after, and I put my hand right on a hot steam pipe. And I'll never forget that.
No. So just on occasion, you went with your father.
Yeah,
you
mm-hmm. right.
Mm-hmm. Where was your family living when you were here?
We lived all over Long Beach. It seemed like we moved every year for some reason, rather. We lived just from hopping from one apartment to another. I just had lunch with my mother, and I was reminding her how many different places we lived in Long Beach. And I was in high school before we lived in our own home. And it always been in rentals and most usually in apartment houses.
Someone told me that when his parents came to Long Beach, they got an apartment right away, but that Long Beach was not very welcoming to the new oil workers, all the people that were coming into town, that there was not a very favorable feeling towards them.
Well, I don't remember anything about that. As far as I could see, Long Beach was the same as most any other town as far as rentals were concerned, at any rate. And of course, it was much smaller and a lot sleepier then than it is now. I can remember when the streetcars ran down 7th Street and the train came down Ocean Boulevard, and of course, we had the red car and all that. But I know we moved out to Bixby Knowles in about 1940, I guess it was.
Mm-hmm.
And that was a whole new area. I could still see the, you know, the rolling hills where, of course, it's all built up now. Same way with Los Cerritos. And when I was married in 1954, we moved out to Park Estates, and again, that was hardly built up. And not too long before that, maybe at that time, State College was still in a couple of apartment buildings there,
mm-hmm.
in that area, where they got their permanent site.
But then, if your family moved a lot, you must have gone to a number of schools in Long Beach.
Well, of course, there weren't so many schools as there are now.
Yes.
And actually, I didn't change schools but once, because living in the north part of town here, well, there was either Polly High or Wilson. Of
mm-hmm.
course, I went to Polly, and I went to Franklin Junior High School and rode the bus every day back and forth, because there wasn't anything, there weren't any schools out, you know, beyond Willow.
Mm-hmm.
So we just rode the bus.
So you never went to Los Cerritos School then?
I never went to Los Cerritos Schools, no. Now, there may have been a Los Cerritos Elementary School at that time. There probably was.
Yes,
but I don't think his junior high school was built at
no.
that time. And so I know all of the kids bussed down to Polly and Franklin and Jefferson and Hamilton,
mm-hmm.
which is now Long Beach City College.
I know Betsy Epperson has told me that you both had a marvelous orchestra teacher at Franklin Junior High.
Yeah, she was really terrific. I think she was one of the really the most inspired teachers I ever had.
Now, I've forgotten what her name was.
Well, she had several names. The first name was Irmil, I-R-M-I-L, I think. The other name was Oris, and then when we went to school with her last name was Whitnack. And she had formerly been Mrs. Padgham. Now she was Mrs. Whitnack. And then she apparently divorced Whitnack and remarried Padgham, so she became Padgham again. But she was a real dynamo and put her heart and soul into working with kids. Had a terrific musical program, a terrific orchestra, and she really, she just had so much energy, you know, it was very inspiring to the kids, and they really put out the work for her.
Well, I know you're a musician, so that when you went on to Polly, did you continue with your music there?
With the orchestra there, and then I played for the Long Beach Symphony. And, of course, Barbara Putnam Poray was one of my close friends, and mm-hmm. she was just murdered recently,
yes.
which was a very tragic thing. And because we went all to school together, both in the orchestra together.
And so that you played the flute in the orchestra?
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
And you also played the piano?
That's right. Mm-hmm. I always tried to beat Barbara, but I never could. She was a real professional.
Yes, she was.
Mm-hmm.
She was a beautiful woman.
Yeah, really nice gal. Mm-hmm. So it's a shame. You lose track of so many people that you've gone to school with. There was a lot of kids who were really very talented, but I don't know where they've gone to now. too bad.
Where did you go to college?
USC.
And what did you major in?
Well, I majored in music there, too. Mm-hmm. Got a bachelor's degree in music. And came out and taught for a while. Couldn't make any money, so my dad said one day, well, when are you going to come in the oil business? So I decided that the best thing to do, especially when I wanted to get married and have a family.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. So, but then about that time, the oil business kind of went downhill. And he had his pipe and supply company and also a drilling company, oil drilling company. But both of those were sold off because there just wasn't that much activity at that time. And we held on to the development in leases that we had, but in fact, there for a long time, we just wondered if there was going to be any future in the oil business because prices of everything were going up except oil products. For a long time, oh gee, several years, we didn't have a raise in the price of oil. And at that time, oil was selling between $2 and $3 a barrel.
Mm-hmm.
And I know just before this OPEC thing all broke loose, an engineer was saying to me, his name is Nick Van Wingen, a very fine engineer and consultant in Pasadena, and he taught at UCLA, said that he had a lot of kids that were Arabs that came over here for schooling, engineering and whatnot. And he said, when those people really get a handle on their industry over there, they're going to make it very tough for Americans.
And mm-hmm.
He said, I think the price of oil is going to go to $5 a barrel. And I said, oh, gee, you're kidding. That's just impossible. So it went to $5 and kept on going.
Yeah.
Yeah. So, and as a result, the oil business has really revived. And last year, there was tremendous activity. This year is not so much again because I think a lot of people realize that the tax structure is going to be different this year and they won't get as much spent of their tax dollars last year as they could.
Well, I think when I came here, that if you are really in the midst of your office here, is you have some oil wells around here.
Right.
And
mm-hmm.
Are they all part of the Hurley supply?
No, we've never really had much production here in Long Beach. We do have two little wells here, and my dad drilled three other wells in the Long Beach area, but none of them turned out to be worth much. And so the fields that he was more successful in were out of town, such as Huntington Beach and Wilmington. And a couple of other areas, Oxnard and up along the Ridge Route.
So is that what your business now primarily is?
Yes. Actually, most of the wells have been taken over by bigger companies like Exxon that are doing secondary water flood recovery in Wilmington.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
But we have drilled one well in the last couple of years and reconditioned a couple of others. So we're just a very small company.
Mm-hmm. Well, your location right here by Atlantic, just adjacent to the San Diego Freeway, brings several things to my mind. I've been reading about efforts for Long Beach redevelopment over the years, and in 1954 there was a movement to try to move City Hall and Civic Center up here in this area. Do you remember anything about that?
Oh, yes, that's where the Petroleum Club is. They're on Linden and about 37th Street. There was an area there of several blocks that had practically no development in them. And so the idea was that being actually more the geographical center of town, that it might make a good area for the city hall and so forth. But the people who were involved in the downtown shopping area, I think, prevailed. And now, as the development is going, I think it was probably the wise move. Being adjacent to the harbor and with the advantages of the seacoast and that kind of thing. also, of course, the Long Beach Freeway just funnels right into downtown the way it's been built now. So I think downtown has a very good chance of doing very well. of course, it's had a tremendous amount of new buildings and mm-hmm. development. Mm-hmm. And the auditorium, the arena, and hotels and so forth. It really ought to have a good rebirth.
Well, when the plans were made for developing the San Diego Freeway and cutting across Long Beach, what would that have had any influence on any possible attempt to move City Hall up here? Or?
Well, of course, being adjacent to the freeway would have made it a logical move at that time. But I don't think, seeing how the city is expanding at this point, there's really been maybe enough room for the city to have evolved in that location, unless, of course, they could have condemned properties like they're doing downtown. But I know when the freeway came through, we had an office on Cherry Avenue that had to be moved from the freeway, and this little office was in the way of the freeway on Pasadena Avenue. And so we got a lot of effect of it. Well, she'll answer the phone in there.
I'm interested in the way the oil field went into the Los Cerritos neighborhood, too. I know that about 1925, 26, they started, but that's when you were born, and an infant, they started drilling, extending the Long Beach field up to the full perimeter up there, and it had been an area that had been planned as a lovely residential area. Promoters were saying that this was going to be a lovely residential area. And then oil wells went into that area. Do you know anything about that development in that area, or remember your...
No, I really don't. I don't remember anything about that. The actual Los Cerritos residential area as it developed has wells on the perimeter of it over by the flood control and along the freeway areas, but actually all around the Virginia Country Club and probably extending a mile south of that, there isn't any there aren't any wells that I'm aware of.
Mm-hmm.
So I think it went ahead and developed probably pretty much as it would around the old rancho that formed the heart of it there next to the club.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And same way with the other rancho that was over in the east end of town,
mm-hmm.
that is close to the state university.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And of course there's oil on in that area as well as there is oil here, but the residential areas seem to have escaped development.
I spoke with Ruth Craig Ron, and she said that they built their home in 1929, and that they waited a little bit to make sure that there wasn't going to be any oil
mm-hmm.
in that area.
Mm-hmm.
Now, I think you told me before that your father built their home on Virginia Road.
Right.
Mm-hmm. When did he build that?
Well, it was... It was during the first part of the war, because I know they moved into the home, must have been the first part of 1942, and of course the war was declared in December of 41. So it was being built during 1941, at the end of 41, the first part of 42.
Mm-hmm.
And because I know some materials were hard to come by at that time. And we were there during an air raid, or what we thought was an air raid. And then some anti-aircraft shells got shot somehow off the from the airport area and lodged in some buildings nearby us, maybe a fragment in our house. I can't just remember now.
Well, I've never heard that. I've heard about the air raid, quote-unquote
mm-hmm.
air raid,
mm-hmm.
but I hadn't heard about it.
Well, there was something, there was some artillery that got off by mistake or something like that and made kind of a splash.
Then that home on Virginia Road backs right onto the golf course, the country club, I think.
Yes, yes, it did. Mm-hmm. Still does.
Did your family belong to the Virginia Country Club?
My dad did.
One of the golfers there?
Yes, my mother said that he always played golf until he moved there and then he didn't play anymore.
I tried to do some research before I talked to someone, and the only thing I could find about your father, and I assume it's your father, I said Jack Hurley, was an article, and I came across it quite by chance, was an article about the burning and sinking of...
Oh, the Aleutian. Yeah, the Aleutian yacht. Mm-hmm. Yeah, his very good friends with Les Callahan, and who, of course, was an oil man also. And they would go fishing and hunting a great deal. And Les had purchased this very lovely yacht and was taking it down into Mexican waters, or had it down there at one time, and apparently had sailed it back. And anyhow, there was a group of men from Long Beach, doctors and oil people, and I don't know how many must have been on that boat, but probably at least 20 different guys. And so I think they were on their way to Mexico when a fire broke out somehow, and they were really stranded. But just so happened the Coast Guard came along and was able to rescue them.
Mm-hmm.
One of the men, a doctor, and I can't remember his name now, was the only casualty. When he jumped from the yacht to the Coast Guard, he broke his ankle.
Dr. Swinney.
And I don't think he ever recovered too well from that. It was a very bad break, and apparently it wasn't in all that good a health anyhow. But he was a very good doctor here in town. So that was a very dramatic incident, and they all thought they had been very fortunate to survive that.
Mm-hmm.
And then it wasn't more than what year was that?
1954.
No, 1954. Well, then my dad died the same year.
Oh, did he?
Mm-hmm. In December that year. He'd had hypertension that had bothered him, and he couldn't seem to get any relief from it from various doctors around here, so he finally went to Mayo's. And they couldn't really diagnose him. They did an exploratory operation, but he didn't recover from it.
Oh, dear.
So he really had an aneurysm in the brain, which at that time they had no way of diagnosing or treating.
Mm-hmm.
So he died at age 58, which was quite young.
Yes.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. Yes, you certainly had many productive years of that.
Yes, it was really too bad. So
if he had worked hard all his life and been gotten very successful?
Yes, I think he was pleased with his life, and he loved to hunt and fish, and he was able to do that, you know, a lot. He had some good cronies to do those things with, and so it was unfortunate, but that's the way life happens sometimes.
Were there, when you say had some good